Please turn with me to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18. As at this point in time of the Catechism, it's actually going through each of the clauses of the Apostles' Creed, which we just confessed, and it will go through his ascension, Lord's Day 18, Lord's Day 18 of Heidelberg Catechism. These are helpful summary teachings, summary of the teachings of the Bible. And so let's answer the questions of Lord's Day 18. What benefit do we receive from Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Second, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he has as a head will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. Why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Because Christ ascended into heaven for this end, for that he might there appear as the head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Amen. These past three Lord's Days have been very crucial in the heart of what we understand it to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ's suffering and death proved with certainty that the full condemnation of sin's curse was placed on him. His resurrection proved with certainty that his sacrifice was accepted and sufficient to cover all of our sin, giving us new life. When our Lord Jesus ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of his Father, it gives us confidence that the victory that he has attained is actually for certain. It will never be taken away. What Christ has finished at the cross will never be undone. So the Catechism highlights three benefits of the ascension that Scripture teaches us. First, talks about how he is now our advocate in the presence of the Father. Now, why is this comforting? It's comforting because, believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, but you and I still sin, right? We still fall into sin. We're so prone to fall into doubt, and we walk astray from God's law and his word. But our sin, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, makes us aware of our unrighteousness. Our sin damages the people we care about. It damages how we look at ourselves. Satan uses that to cause us, to accuse us, and tempt us to despair. Oh, you'll never be the person people think you are. You are a failure and don't deserve grace. You'll never be the person that you're supposed to be. Once they find out that you're a fraud, that they will reject you. You know, all these types of lies, all these types of accusations. And the reason why we give attention to those lies is because there's part of it that's actually true in the part that we are actually have committed sin. We've run astray. But it is a lie, in essence, because of who Christ is. 1 John 2 says, I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, and I scratch my head, like, is there anyone that this doesn't qualify for? You know, if anyone sins, of course we all sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, the one who made an end of your sin stands on guard to defend you when the accusations come against you. Secondly, we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that we will be taken up. Our flesh in heaven sounds a little odd at first, doesn't it? We're really talking that way. Our flesh dwells in heaven. But what this is trying to tell us, what Scripture teaches, is that we can be so certain of the eternal life and our resurrection because the God-man who suffered in our place now stands in heaven in our place. There is a glorified man in heaven at this point in time as we speak. There is a man who is without sin. And Jesus Christ is the doorway into heaven. And the reason why we will enter into heaven is because he, as our representative and his humanity, takes our sin away. He is the life gate that we may come in. He has opened the gates of heaven that we may enter, because he is the God-man. And all who place their faith in the God-man, Jesus Christ, will have eternal life and fellowship with their Redeemer. Thirdly, he sends us his Spirit, by whose power we seek the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. So what this means is that even though Christ's physical body is in heaven, it doesn't mean he's not with us. That's what we read in the end, right? In Matthew 28, in the Great Commission. I'm sending you out to make disciples, for I will be with you to the end of the age. Well, how will Christ be with us if he's bodily in heaven? Well, that's why he explains earlier, before that, that it is to your advantage that I go to my Father. It is to your advantage. What advantage is that? That when I ascend to my Father, I'm going to send down to you a helper, a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And this helper, our comforter, will guide us into all truth, Jesus says. He will make us holy, showing us the way to endure and following the Father's will, just as he did with our Lord Jesus Christ, which is why the Holy Spirit the Bible talks about this Holy Spirit as being our guarantee. Just as the Holy Spirit guaranteed the victory in Jesus, the Holy Spirit that now dwells with us will also guarantee our victory, because his victory is ours, and we have the same Holy Spirit dwelling in us, guiding and leading us. So saints of God, take comfort in your Redeemer. He stands victoriously in heaven, never to be touched by death, never to be touched by his enemies ever again, because he has conquered them. He is with you, and he is for you. So let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 18 with that.